the one endowed with a hand, the trunk like a hand. And the third one is Kanda, which, like a mass, like a form. So this is an experiment. I'm going to tell you three stories. Basically, one frame story with two stories in it, inside of it. And you are my test audience. So it's nice to have a safe audience with no rotten fruit hidden. Okay. Well, this story begins with a quarrel. But where does a quarrel begin? I'm right. He's wrong. We know the truth. They don't. I see. She's blind. I have the answer. I know the answer. I am the one who's in the right. Well, at Kozambi, in Gosita Monastery, a quarrel arose between two monks. And senior monks they were. I'm right, said one. He's wrong, said the other. I know the truth, said the first. I have the answer, said the second. And at Kozambi in Gosita Monastery, the other monks began to whisper, this monk is right, and that monk is wrong. Or that monk is right, and this monk is wrong. Until in the hall, or in the courtyard, on alms round, or at mealtime, all of the monks stood on one side or the other. Then the nuns, receiving instruction at Kozambi in Gosita Monastery, heard the monks quarreling and began to quarrel too. This monk is right and that monk is wrong, or that monk is wrong and this monk is right, until they stood on one side or the other. Then the villagers at Kozambi, near Gosita Monastery, heard of the monk's quarrel. And before the rice could stick to the pot, they too were divided in two. Then the devas, celestial beings at Kozambi near Gosita Monastery, heard the whispering, saw the faces shut up like a trap, and they too were divided in two. All beings took one side or the other. Why, the quarrel extended from the realm of the four great kings to the heaven of the gods sublime. Well, a monk came to the Tathagata, to the Buddha, and told him what was happening. And he said, let them be united, Sammaka Kira Hontu. Twice he sent word, Sammaka Kira Hontu, let them be united. Twice he received the reply, Bhante, they refuse to be united. So he went, and he began his discourse with these words, monks, no quarreling. Quarrels, disputes, contention, strife have no benefit. Bhikkave, Bandana, Kalaha, Vigaha, Vivada, Namete Anatta Karaka. And he told them a birth story of the tiny quail who brought about the destruction of a noble elephant, all because of a quarrel. But they would not be united. And so he told them the birth story of the quails, thousands of quails who lost their lives because of a quarrel. But they would not be united. And then he told them a further story of the past in which Prince Dikava spared the life of Brahmadatta, even though Brahmadatta had killed his father and taken away his kingdom. He finished his story saying, monks, these two men were at peace thereafter. How much more should you who have retired from the world, under a law and discipline so well taught, be known by all as patient and gentle. Thus did the teacher admonish them, but they would not be united. Whereupon he reflected, here I am crowded, here I am jostled, and moreover, these monks pay no attention to what I say. Suppose I were to retire from the haunts of men and live in solitude. And so he went to Kozambi for alms round, and without bidding farewell to the monks, he went to the village of Balaka, the salt maker, where he discoursed to the elder Bagu on the merits of the solitary life. And then he went to Eastern Bamboo Park, where he discoursed to the three youths of station on the sweets of the bliss of concord, or the bliss of the sweets of concord. And from there he went to Parilieka, to protected forest, to the foot of a beautiful sal tree. And there he spent the rainy season very pleasantly, attended by an elephant. Meanwhile, the members of the lay community came to the monastery. They said, Bhante, where is the teacher? Where has the teacher gone? He has gone to Parilieka, to protected forest. But for what reason? He strove to unite us, but we would not be united. Bhante, reverend sirs, do you mean that after receiving admission at the hands of the teacher as monks, you refused to agree when he asked you to? That is the truth. Evam avuso. The people said, these monks, it is because of them that we cannot see the teacher. To these monks, assuredly, we will give neither seats, nor respectful salutations, nor any other civilities. Well, the monks got so little food that it only required a few days until they came to a better state of mind. Then they gave up their positions, and they went to the members of the lay community. They said, lay brothers, lay sisters, we are reconciled. Be to us as before. Have you asked the teacher's pardon? No, we haven't asked the teacher's pardon. When the teacher has pardoned you, then we will be to you as before. Well, the rainy season was at its height, and they could not go to Parilieka, to protected forest, and so they spent the rainy season very uncomfortably. Not so the Buddha. He spent it very pleasantly, attended by the elephant Parilieka, who himself had withdrawn from his herd in order to have a pleasant time.
Here I live, surrounded by elephants. Female elephants, elephant calves, baby elephants. They chew off the tips of the grass. They eat branch after branch I break down. They muddy the water I drink. Whenever I plunge into the water or come up out of the water, the female elephants come and rub against me. Suppose I were to withdraw from the herd and live alone.
And so did this elephant, this noble elephant, retire from the herd and come to Parilieka, to protected forest, even to the foot of the beautiful sal tree. And there he paid homage to the Blessed One, to the Buddha, and looked about for something to sweep the ground. But seeing nothing, he struck at the sal tree below with his foot, and swiped at the sal tree above with his trunk, and took a branch and swept the ground. Then he took a water pot in his trunk and fetched drinking water. And as hot water was needed, he prepared hot water. How is this possible? First, he produced sparks with his trunk by using a fire drill. Then, he dropped sticks of wood on the sparks, and in this way did he kindle a fire. In the fire, he heated small stones, and these he rolled along the ground and dropped in a depression in the rock, which he had filled with water. Then he lowered his trunk into the water, and finding it just the right temperature, he went and bowed to the teacher, who said, Parulieka, is your water hot enough? Udakante tapitan? And went and bathed. After which, Parulieka went and fetched wild fruit and presented them to the teacher. Well, when the teacher is going into village for alms round, the elephant carries his bowl and robe and sets them on his head and accompanies him. And when they come to the outskirts of the village, the teacher says, Parulieka, farther than this you are not permitted to go. You may give me my robe and bowl. Then the teacher enters the village, and the elephant stands right there and waits until he returns. And when the teacher returns, the elephant takes his robe and bowl and carries them as before and sets them down in his dwelling place and fans the teacher with the branch of a tree. At night, he takes a club in his trunk to ward off the danger from beasts of prey, and he strides back and forth in the forest until sunrise. And this is why the forest became known as Protected Forest, Rakita Wanasando. Now, when the sun rises, the elephant performs all the duties as before, preparing water, fetching fruit. And a monkey, seeing this, the elephant up and doing each day, said to himself, I'll do something too. And so it happened that one day when he was running about, he saw a stick of honey, a branch with honey, which was free from flies. He broke it off, and taking a palm leaf, he put the honey on the leaf and offered it to the teacher. The teacher took it. The monkey watched to see whether or not he would eat it. He observed the teacher sat down without eating. What can the matter be? Thought the monkey. He took hold of the tip of the stick and turned it over and inspected the honey, and thereupon he discovered insect eggs. These he gently removed and again offered the honey to the teacher. This time, he ate it. The monkey was so delighted, he leapt from branch to branch and jumped about in great glee. But the branch that he stood on and the branch that he grasped broke off, and he fell and was impaled on the stump of a tree. And he died. But because of his great faith in the teacher, he was reborn in the world of the 33 in a golden mansion 33 leagues in extent, with a retinue of 1,000 celestial nymphs. Now one night, at the height of the rainy season, when Parulieka the elephant strode back and forth in the forest, the Buddha, the teacher, called to him. He said, Parulieka, come, sit. I wish to tell you a story. When I too was like you and retired from the herd. So Parulieka came, put down his club, and knelt beside the teacher. And the teacher began. Once on a time, when Brahmadatta was reigning in Banaras, the Bodhisatta came into being in the womb of an elephant, Hattiyoniyam, who dwelt at the foot of the Himalayas, Himavanta Padesi. At birth, he was white all over. He shone in the sunlight like a mass of silver coins. His eyes sparkled like the five brightnesses. And what are these five? Satisfaction, joy, joy, virtue, a happy mind, and faith. His trunk was flecked with red and gold. His mouth was scarlet, like the red cloth of the north. His four hooves shone like polished lac. His form was the height of beauty, adorned with the 10 perfections, Dasai Paramihi. Dana Parami, generosity. Sila Parami, virtue. Nakamma Parami, renunciation. Panya Parami, wisdom. Virya Parami, energy. Kanti Parami, patience. Adhitana Parami, resolve. Metta Parami, kindness. Upeka Parami, equanimity. Well, when he grew up, he became the leader of all the elephants of the Himalayas, and they followed him in one body. But while he was dwelling there, at the foot of the Himalayas, with a following of 80,000 elephants, he became aware of bickering and quarreling in the herd, Dosa. Seeing this, his heart grew sad, and he withdrew from the herd and went to live alone. And through the goodness of his life, he was called Silavanaga Raja, virtuous elephant king. And the other elephants would say his name, Silavanaga Raja, Silavanaga Raja, Silavanaga Raja. Now it happened that a man of Benares, a forester, a woodcutter, came to the Himalayas and entered the forest in search of the means to make his living. With his axe and rope, he wandered about and soon lost his way and all sense of direction. With the fear of death in him, calling, wandering, stretching his arms before him, he made his way through the forest. Pari devamando, lamenting and wailing. Now, the Bodhisatta liked to bathe by a certain stream that ran through a clearing in the middle of the forest. He would reach out his shining trunk into the water, fill it, lift it above him, and let fall a cool shower on his head and neck and body, refreshing himself in the heat of the day. There he stood, his white tusks gleaming, droplets of water running off his elephant ears, when he heard the loud lamenting, Balava Paridevitam. Compassion sprang up in him, and he went in the direction of the sound, saying, I will release this human from his suffering. Imam Purisam Dukam Uchasami. He came through the wood and approached the man. But at the sight of a lone elephant, the forester took fright and fled. For a solitary elephant, a lone elephant, is dangerous to meet. Seeing the man run away in fear, the Bodhisatta stopped and stood still, which brought the man to a standstill as well. Then again the Bodhisatta came forward, and again the man ran, halting once more when the Bodhisatta halted. Then the forester reflected, this elephant stands still when I run, and only comes forward when I stand still. He cannot mean to harm me, but to help me. Summoning his courage, he stood in one place. Then the Bodhisatta came forward and said, Bo Purisa, human man, why do you wander about lamenting? Paridevamano. Sami, my lord, answered the forester, I have lost my way and my bearings, and I fear to perish." Then the Bodhisatta led the man to his own dwelling place, and he gave him fruit and cared for him for many days. And then he said, "Bo Purisa, Ma Bhai, do not be afraid. Now I will take you to the road which leads to where men dwell." And he knelt down and invited the man to seat himself on his back. And he set forth towards the road to Benares. Then did that deceitful man, that ungrateful friend, that false friend, Mitadubi, seated on the back of the Bodhisatta, make note of hill and tree and rock, in case he might need to find his way back again. And when they reached the road to Benares, the Bodhisatta set him down and said, "O Purisa, tell no one of the road which leads to where I dwell." And he took his leave and returned home. But the forester, he made his way to Benares, and from there to the ivory workers' bazaar, Dantakaravittim, where he watched the craftsmen at work, shaping ivory into all manner of forms. And he said to them, "Would you give anything for the living tusk, Jivadanto, of an elephant?" "Bo Kimva Daisy, why do you ask such a question? The living tusk, Jivadanto, of an elephant is worth far more than the tusks of a dead one, Mattahattidanto. Then I will bring you some living ivory." So the forester prepared his provisions, took a sharp saw, and set off for the Bodhisatta's dwelling. He found the Bodhisatta in the clearing, taking his morning bath. So great was the beauty of this magnificent elephant, so dazzling was his shining form, that even though the forester's heart was filled with greed, he stopped and gazed in delight as the elephant let fall a cool shower of water on his head and neck and body. The Bodhisatta, seeing him, said, "Why have you come?" "Sami, my lord, I am a poor, wretched man. I beg of you, give me one of your tusks, that I may live more easily."
"Sadhu."
"Very well," said the Bodhisatta. "I will give you one of my tusks, Dantam Tidasami, if you have brought a saw to cut it with."
"I have brought a saw," said the forester.
"Then saw off my tusks and take them away." And the Bodhisatta knelt down so that he was crouched upon the earth like an ox. Now the forester had only asked for one of the elephant's tusks, but so great was the generous heart of the Bodhisatta that he now offered both. So the forester took his saw from his bundle and sawed off the tusks, and they fell one and then the other to the ground. Then the Bodhisatta lifted them up and held them in his trunk and said, "Bo Purisa, it is not because I do not hold these dear that I give them to you. But dearer to me 100-fold, 100,000-fold, is the gift of knowledge that pierces the veil of ignorance and opens the way to understanding and awakening. Sabbadhamma Pativedana Samatta. May my gift to you of these two tusks bring me insight and wisdom." The man took the tusks. He sold them and having spent the money, he returned again into the Bodhisattva's presence. Sāmi, my lord, I have sold your tusks, but only received enough to clear away old debts. I beg of you, give me what remains of your ivory. Anavasesa Ditta.
Sadhu, said the Bodhisattva, and knelt down as before, and then the forester sawed off what remained of the elephant's ivory. This he took and sold and returned a third time.
Sāmi, my lord, nācivutumsnasakomi. I am unable to make a living in any way. I beg of you, give me the roots of your tusks.
Sadhu, said the Bodhisattva, and knelt down a third time, and then did that deceitful man, Mitadubi, that wicked man, Papa Puriso, trample on the great bean's trunk. And climbing up to the elephant's brow, he kicked and hacked away at the flesh surrounding the stumps and sawed at the roots and went his way. But no sooner had he passed out of sight than the earth, inconceivable in its vast extent, which can support the weight of Mount Sinaru and all its encircling peaks, now burst asunder in a yawning chasm, and straightway flames from nethermost hell shot up and enveloped the man as if in a shroud of doom, and bore him away. And as he was carried away into the bowels of the earth, the tree fairy, Rukadevata, who lived in that region, pronounced these words: always seeing what isn't there, the ungrateful man, even were he offered the entire world, still would ask for more. Well, the Bodhisattva lived out his life and passed away to fare according to his deserts. The elephant sighed a sigh of contentment on hearing the story and picked up his club and stood up and resumed his pacing back in the forest until sunrise. Well, it became known all over the land of the rose apple, Sakala Jambu Dipe, that the teacher was residing in protected forest, attended by an elephant. From Savati, Anathapindika, and the eminent female lay disciple, Visakha, sent a message to Ananda. Reverend Sir, please obtain for us the privilege of seeing the teacher. Likewise, did 500 monks, a great company of monks residing abroad, send a message. Ananda, it has been a long time since we have heard a discourse on the law from the lips of the teacher. Bhagavato Sammukha Dhammakatha. Please obtain for us the privilege of hearing a discourse on the law from the lips of the teacher. Bhagavato Sammukha Dhammakatha. And so, in company with the monks, Ananda set forth for Parilyaka, to protected forest. And he drew near to the sal tree. He paid homage, and likewise did the other monks. And he said to the Blessed One, to the Buddha, to the teacher, Venerable Sir, Bhante, many noble disciples, 50 million noble disciples, desire your return. Very well, said the teacher. Take bowl and robe.
and causing them to take bowl and robe, he set forth. But then did the elephant come and stand crosswise before the monks. Bhante, what is the elephant doing? Kinkarote Bhante Nago. Bhikkave, monks, the elephant desires to give you alms. Turn back, monks. The elephant has been of service to me for many months now. It is not right that we should hurt his feelings. Turn back. And so the monks turned back, and the elephant entered the forest, brought bananas and wild fruit, and presented them to the monks. And there was more than even that great company of monks could eat. And when they had finished eating, the teacher took robe and bowl and set forth. But then did the elephant, Parilyaka, thread his way between the monks and stand crosswise before the teacher. Bhante, Kinkarote Nako, what is the elephant doing? Monks, having sped your parting, the elephant wishes me to return. And he turned and he spoke to Parilyaka, and he said, Parilyaka, I am going now, never to return. You cannot hope in this existence to enter into states of absorption, to attain spiritual insight, or the paths, or the fruits. Halt, tittatvan. Then the elephant thrust his trunk in his mouth and followed slowly, weeping. And when they came to the outskirts of the village, the teacher stopped once more and said, Parilyaka, we have come now to the habitations of men. It is not safe for you here. Halt, tittatvan. And as the teacher passed out of the elephant's sight, he died of a broken heart. But owing to his great faith in the teacher, he was reborn in the world of the 33, in a golden mansion, 33 leagues in extent, with a retinue of 1,000 celestial nymphs. God Parilyaka was his name. Well, in due course, they came to Jetavana, and the quarrelsome monks of Kosambi heard of the teacher's return and came to ask his pardon. He pardoned them, and he said, monks, do not quarrel. Do not seek ways to contend with each other. Seek ways to be of service to each other, just as the elephant, Parilyaka, was of service to me. And he told them how the elephant had served him, and heated hot water for him, and fanned him with a branch, and swept the ground, and cared for him. And one of the monks said, Bhante, is it not unusual for an elephant to befriend a human in this way? And the Blessed One, the teacher, said, no. Let me tell you a story. Once on a time when Ramadatta was reigning in Benares, there was a village of carpenters not far from the city. And a great company of carpenters lived in this village. They would go up the river in a vessel and enter the forest. There they would shape beams and planks for house building and put together the framework of one-story or two-story houses, numbering all the pieces from the main post onwards. Then they brought these down to the riverbank, loaded them aboard, and rowing downstream, they built houses to order, just as it was required of them. And when they had received their wages, they returned once more for more materials for building. And in this way did they make their living. Now it happened that near the place where they were at work, shaping timbers, an elephant stepped on a splinter of acacia wood, which pierced his foot and caused it to swell up and fester. And he was in great pain. In his agony, he heard the sound of the carpenters cutting wood. "Here are some carpenters who will cure me," he thought. And limping on 3 feet, he came before them and lay down close by. The carpenters noticed his swollen foot, went up and looked, and there was the splinter sticking in it. They used a sharp tool, they made an incision, tied a string around the splinter, and pulled it right out. Then they washed the wound and doctored it properly, and in a very short time it was healed. Well, the elephant was so grateful for the cure. He thought, "These carpenters have saved my life. Now I will be of service to them." So ever after that, he used to pull up trees for them, or if they were chopping wood, he would roll up the logs for them, or bring them their axes or any other tool they wanted, holding everything by twisting and wrapping his trunk about it. And when it came time to feed him, each of the carpenters would give him a portion of their food, so that he had 500 portions in all. Now this elephant had a young one, white all over, a magnificent, noble creature. And the elephant reflected that he was old and had better let his young one come and serve the carpenters. So without a word to the carpenters, he went into the forest and returned with his son. And he said to them, "This young elephant is a son of mine. I give him to you in return for your healing. From now on, he shall work for you." And he explained it all to his son, that it was his duty now to do the work for the carpenters. And he went away into the forest, leaving his son with them. And his son, the young elephant, served them faithfully and obediently, and they fed him, just as they had fed the other, with 500 portions for a meal. And when his work was done, he used to go and play in the river. And the carpenter's children would play with him and pull his trunk and play all sorts of pranks with him in the water and out. Now, noble creatures, be they elephants, horses, or men, never stale or dung in the water. And so this elephant did nothing of the kind, but waited till he came up on the bank. Well, one day, it had rained upriver, and by the flood, a half-dry cake of the elephant's dung floated downstream and lodged in the bush near the landing place at Benares. Well, just then, the king's elephant keepers had brought down 500 elephants, or a great many elephants, to give them a bath. But they scented this soil of a noble animal, and they would not enter the water, not a single one. Up went their tails, and off they ran. Well, the elephant keepers told the elephant trainers, who said, "There must be something in the water." Orders were given to cleanse the water, and in the bush, this lump was found. "That must be it," cried the men. Well, they brought a jar of water, great clay jar, and they powdered the stuff into it. And then they sprinkled this water on the elephants, whose bodies then became sweet, and down they went into the river and bathed. Well, when they made the report to the king, the trainers advised him to secure this noble elephant for his own use and profit. So the king embarked upon a raft, and rowing upstream, he came to the place where the carpenters had settled. Now the young elephant was playing in the water when he heard the sound of the drums. He came up on shore and presented himself to the carpenters, who one and all came forth to do honor to the king's coming. "Sire," they said, "if woodwork is needed, why come here? Why not send and have it brought to you?" No, good friend, said the king. It is not for wood that I come, but for this elephant.
He is yours, sire, said the carpenters,
and they urged the young elephant forward. But he would not budge.
The king frowned, and then he smiled. He said, What do you want me to do, sir elephant?
The elephant raised his tusk in the air and swept a slow curve, as if to embrace all the carpenters in one. And he said to the king, Please, may my friends be paid for what they have spent on me.
Willingly, friend, said the king, and he ordered 100,000 pieces of money to be placed at the elephant's tail, his trunk, and each of his 4 feet.
But the elephant would not go.
And so the king gave cloth to the carpenter, robes for the carpenter's wife, and enough that the carpenter's children, who had been the elephant's playmates, be well brought up. And then did the elephant depart in company with the king. And so the king brought him to Benares, and he was a sight to behold. A proud young elephant, a gleaming white elephant, standing square in the center of the raft, floating down the river, carried down the river to the city of Benares. And when they reached Benares, the city was decked out with all magnificence. The king led him through the streets and into the stable, which was appointed with pomp and splendor. There he solemnly sprinkled him and appointed him for his own riding. He gave him half of his kingdom and treated him as well as he treated himself. After the coming of this elephant, the king held sway over all India. Now, in course of time, the Bodhisatta was conceived by the queen consort, and when her time was near come to be delivered, the king died. Now, if the news were given to the elephant, he was sure to break his heart. So not a word was said, and he was taken care of just as before. But the next neighbor, the king of Kosala, heard the news of the king's death, and he said to himself, Surely now their kingdom is at my mercy. And he marched with a great host to the gates of Benares. Well, straightway the gates were closed, and a message sent to the king. Our queen is near her time to be delivered. The astrologers have declared that in 7 days she shall give birth to a son. If she bears a son, we will not yield the kingdom, but on the 7th day we will give you battle. For so long we pray you wait. And to this the king agreed. And on the 7th day she bore a son. And on his name day he was called Prince Winheart Alina Chitta, because they said he was born to win the hearts of men. But on the very same day that he was born, the townsfolk of Benares began to engage the king of Kosala in battle. But as they had no leader, little by little the army gave way, great though it was. The courtiers told the news to the king. They said, Our army is losing ground, and we fear defeat. But the state elephant, the king's comrade, has never been told that the king is dead and a son born to him, and that the king of Kosala is making war upon us. Shall we tell him? Yes, do so, said the queen. And she dressed up her son and wrapped him in fine linen. And down from the palace she came with all her court and entered the elephant's stable. And there she laid the babe at the elephant's feet. Sami, my lord, she said. Sahayo Kalakato, your comrade, is dead. The king of Kosala is making war upon your son. Either kill your son yourself, or win the kingdom back for him. At once did the elephant stroke the child with his trunk and lift him up and set him on his head and then lay him in his mother's arms. And with these words, I will master the king of Kosala, Kosala Rajanamga Hissami. He went forth and they armed him with armor and caparison, and he was escorted to the gates of the city. And when the gates were opened, he emerged and trumpeted. And all the host were frightened and ran, and he broke up the camp. And he seized the king of Kosala by his topknot and carried him and set him down at the feet of the Bodhisatta. Some rose to kill him, but the elephant would not let them. And he said to the captive king, as he let him go, "Be careful for the future and be not presumptuous by reason that our king is young." Well, after that, not a foe would rise up against the kingdom of Banaras and the Bodhisatta. And at the age of 7, he was consecrated as King Winhart. Just was his reign. And when he came to the end of his life, he went to swell the hosts of heaven. That is the story of Alina Chitta Jataka. And when the Bodhisatta had finished, all the monks sighed a sigh of contentment. And one monk said to the one sitting next to him, "Let us be united, Sammaga Kira Homa." And the other monk agreed. He said, "Let us be united, Sammaga Kira Homa." And a third monk said, "Yes, Sammaga Kira Homa." Until all the monks said, "Sammaga Kira Homa." That's it.